up, everybody, and welcome to the Misadventureland Games Show, E3-ish, day one-ish days. I'm muted. Thank you, Grun. Woo! Off to a good start. Though it wouldn't be muted in my podcast and in the recording, so it's fine. Here we are, Misadventureland Games Show, day minus one, minus two?
I would say minus two.
Of E3-ish events happening in this time frame. Justin and I are going to talk about it. We were just going to do our panels and pictures tonight, but we decided that we mind melded and decided that we were also talking about the games that were announced today. I literally texted Justin,
right?
What do you think about us splitting the time tonight and talking about the games and then also Loki? And you read my mind. So we're here to talk about those two things. But we're going to split, like, for you watching live, there will be no division. If you're listening to this in a podcast form, these will be two separate podcasts. Let's just say that. So we're going to talk about, I want to get Justin's thoughts on the Battlefield reveal because, you know, he wasn't on the live stream we did yesterday. And then also, we're going to talk about Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest. Right? Summer Games Fest?
Yes.
Because Jeff Grubb calls it his thing the Summer Games Mess, and it always crosses me up. I want to give a big hello to people in chat. Groon, Cody, Hot Black Coffee, Crockett, Peach. What's up? We're recording this live, twitch.tv/misadventureland. So if you want to get in on the live, rat-tat-tat. Adam is also here. You should come hang out in there. If you're listening to us on your podcast platform of choice. Alejandro, hello. His handsome face was on the Battlefield reveal. You know, he shaved since yesterday.
I shaved and I also lost about 40 pounds.
And aged 9 years. Or
and aged like 7-8 years. Considerably grayer.
You can't really see it though on the stream, Justin.
No. You've got me dark.
I got you dark. I put a nice little filter on both of us. I think we've got a little more filmic look going. Sky is here. You are here for a live podcast. That means it is a good night, Sky. Welcome in. So we're going to be talking about E3 so far. We're going to be, you know, obviously live streaming on Sunday, covering the Xbox conference. And then I'm probably going to stick around and do the Square Enix thing because I think that it comes right after it or whatever. But we're going to cover a lot of Sunday live here on the show. Going to try Monday and Tuesday to pop in as much as I can. I'm definitely going to tell my boss, like, I'm going to take a long lunch and talk over Nintendo on Tuesday. So a lot of E3 stuff to go. Tomorrow, there's a couple things going on. Saturday is a big day as well. And Saturday is like the real first day of E3 stuff for reals. But we're going to talk about Battlefield first, Justin. Battlefield 2042 got announced. EA tight as a sealed container on that information getting out. But yeah, Battlefield 2042 is the game. Near future, 128 players on the PC and next gen versions. Destruction, weather, all this kind of stuff. No campaign. What did you think about that announcement? And what do you think about the information that came out after the announcement?
I'm ready for more Battlefields. That's the main thing. I liked 5 fine enough, but we didn't stick with it for very long, but I'm tired of dealing with the, you know, World War II, World War I eras, and I wanted it to return to modern day. So near future is cool. I thought the, you know, for a CGI trailer, you know, it certainly captured some of the, you know, big destruction and things that you'll see in a Battlefield game. So I thought the trailer itself was fine. You know, a CGI trailer for a first person shooter like a Call of Duty or a Battlefield isn't really going to get me, you know, that hyped for it. I thought the details afterwards that had come out, you know, no battle royale at launch, no campaign. I don't mind the no campaign. Mm-hmm. They need to get the battle royale right. So while I'm slightly disappointed that it's not there at launch, I'd rather them just get it right this time. And maybe they'll support it more than they did with Firestorm.
They certainly couldn't, you know, support it, like, less than they supported they Firestorm.
Could, yeah. So. Literally impossible to support it less, where they literally sent Firestorm out and then never updated it ever again.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever seen a game do that.
No.
Yeah, look, October 22nd, we're going to see gameplay. I'm sure that I'll have a lot more to say after we see the gameplay Sunday at Xbox's event.
Yeah.
You know, will it be a Game Pass game? We don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful, but we're not sure.
We certainly predicted it. So.
Yep.
We'll see.
I guess we'll see. And I'll definitely have more thoughts after seeing gameplay. They made it sound like there'll be like some operators that you could choose from that'll have like different abilities, like a grapple hook and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's a little bit of a different for a Battlefield series. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, you have your support, medic, and what's the other one? Engineer, maybe, where you can, you know, heal up vehicles and things like that.
Orphan of Bosom, who old friend of the stream. Well, we have watched it. And we are going to talk about it. We have not talked about it yet.
We're not there yet.
You're just getting the very front of the stream. But yes, very excited. Well, one of us is at least very excited. I don't know Justin's thought. Don't worry about it. This is the place for Elden Ring hype.
So yeah, we'll talk more about Battlefield while we're seeing it live on Sunday. And we'll have more thoughts for it then.
Yeah, but, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
As far as trailer goes, it was good stuff.
Yeah, I'm ready. Like you said, I'm ready for Battlefield. I'm ready for something that is different than Call of Duty. I've enjoyed playing multiplayer Call of Duty the last couple of years, but I'm interested in something else that isn't that sort of like vain, but isn't that anymore. And I'm really like, you know, Call of Duty has tried to do like their big, you know, modes or whatever. No, I'm not talking about Warzone. I'm just talking about like the big team battle stuff they would do. And they just never, ever do it as well as Battlefield does it. You know, it just doesn't feel the same. So I'm hoping that we get those big scale battles and stuff. The weather should be interesting. I'm excited to see what the game is. I missed you as well, Orphan. Absolutely. I guess we could maybe spend a little time talking about Justin's changing tastes on this podcast as well. It's been mentioned in chat about Justin's newfound love for a certain franchise that he used to get mad at me for making him play. But we want to get distracted by that. We have lots of games to cover. So that was on Wednesday. They revealed that, like Justin said, more at Xbox on Sunday. But today we got Jeff Keighley's kind of opening ceremonies for his Summer Games Fest. And it was a 2-hour long live stream, with a lot of stuff. We're going to go down the announcements that were there. Justin, how did you feel about like the show as it were?
It was 2 hours. It could have been an hour.
Yes, definitely could have been an hour.
I think it was too long. Too many things were talked about that really had, I guess, no business being talked about. Mm-hmm. Look, a new studio being formed from vets of different franchises is awesome. Like, cool that you have a relationship with PlayStation. I don't think that's a thing that you announce at one of these things if you have nothing to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that any chance that Keighley gets, he's going to talk to Kojima.
Yeah.
But not talking about the new game, but not really giving any details about it.
Yeah.
Not the way to go.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about musical guests. I know these things have to get paid for somehow, but it this felt to me like the early versions of the Game Awards.
It was very Game Awards adjacent, you know. It was very like it was like basically what everyone wants the Game Awards to be in some ways, which is just like none of the awards, just all of the trailers or whatever. I thought the first musical performance, like with Japanese Breakfast, is that the name of the band? I can't remember the name of the band. Hey Dak, welcome in.
Yeah.
Japanese Breakfast for that game, which is now something in my mind.
Sable
was cool because it like showed a lot of the game, and it also was like, okay, this is like fits the vibe and whatever. Weezer's one of my favorite bands of all time. I did not need to see Weezer perform at this Summer Games Fest opening thing, you know? The Sonic concert thing, at least the Sonic concert thing is like very video game like related, you know? But I don't know. I just think like that stuff, but also I don't think that stuff pays the bills. They have to pay those people to appear, You know what I mean? I'm assuming they like Weezer gets paid for showing up at the game of things. I think it's two pronged thing. I think Jeff Keighley partly just wants to do a bunch of stuff that he's always wanted to do, and he's always going to get the opportunity to do, which is fine. Like, I'm not like Jeff Keighley's having fun, whatever. Like, he gets to have Weezer show up at his show. I'm sure when he was like, you know, 22, you know, writing like stories, and like when he was writing stories, like his dream was to be able to talk to these people and get to be around these people. So it's fine. But for the show, it was just made the show too long. I think
too long.
And like stuff like, I feel like stuff like getting those developers who made that studio from the who were like the Black Ops people or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like for Keighley, that's like a different form of, networking. Cause it seeds the relationship between him and that developer. And once the developer's game, which is going to be a Sony exclusive or something, is ready to be shown, maybe it gets shown first at the Game Awards. And that's a big get for them, right? If this new like Sony backed multiplayer shooter is like premiering first at the Game Awards, that's a big deal. So, or an Keighley thing, that's a big deal. So you have to groom those relationships, because Keighley has gotten to the point where he gets a lot of sponsors, and he obviously money is getting thrown at him to do these things. But all of this, he sort of built in this way, right? He built it by like being somebody who knew a lot of people and had a lot of connections and was able to sort of like turn those connections into like this celebration of game industry stuff. So yeah, I thought it was long. It could have been an hour and a half, maybe. It went on too long. I can't remember the name of the studio now. They another this new publisher, which is like a publishing division of another publisher.
It's Coke, isn't it? Like Coke, and then Coke is owned by the Embracer Group.
Yes,
and
like that's exactly that was right. Just yeah, and they showed a bunch of games, like five of which are out already. It's just like a weird.
Yeah,
those kind of things are weird. And again, it's all
Keighley wants to be embraced.
He wants to be embraced by the Embracer Group. And it's also, again, like that's another thing. It's like a building of relationship, right? It's like now when these people put out a new game that maybe is cool, I'll be able to go to them and say, like, you know, when you guys had nothing, I put you on the stage, right? And I think that's a lot of what that's about. But let's talk about the games they actually did show. What you have the list in front of you, Justin?
I have a long I could scroll down and like literally everything they announced. So if you want, I'll just start naming things.
What was first?
I thought stand out.
Did they have an order?
The first thing is Wonderlands.
Yeah. So Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which is Tiny Tina's a character from Borderlands. Obviously, it's a Gearbox game. It's their new game. This is not what I expected it to be. Like we've heard the name. We heard the name last week or whatever in that in that 2K leak. That came out or whatever. But I mean, I don't know about you, Justin. I just assumed it was going to be like Tiny Tina, the like Borderlands version of the character in the Borderlands universe. But, you know, she'd be one of the characters or she'd be like the main NPC or whatever. But this wasn't that.
No, it's Borderlands in a high fantasy world with an impressive voice cast.
Very, very impressive voice cast. Yes.
Andy Samberg, Wanda Sykes, Ashley Birch, Will Arnett.
Yeah.
And supposedly you'll have full customization over your characters.
Magic
getting
stuff
like, yeah, it's Borderlands with magic in a fantasy setting with that voice cast. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Like
yeah.
That's enough to get my attention. Like I like Borderlands. I did not like Borderlands 3 very much, but I loved Borderlands 2 and 1. So we'll see.
We didn't like Borderlands 3, but we sure did finish it.
We sure did finish
you,
it.
You, me, and Andy sure did finish that game for some reason.
It's amazing what dead periods in the game release schedule will do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and there is plenty of loot, Cody. Yes. Plenty of loot in that game. And that's one of those things, one of those times where making the segment a little bit longer, I think benefited the game and was the right way to do it, which is Keighley brought Ashley Birch out on stage and she explained the game, right? She's the voice of Tiny Tina. She explained the game, what it was and how it fit in and, you know, answers. And like, you know, Keighley actually, you know, kind of played the part of the audience and was like, hey, like, is this not just not Borderlands? Is the same universe? What is it? And she answered those questions. And so I felt more excited for that than if I had just seen that trailer, right? I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like I know what this is now. Like this sounds interesting. There's nothing wrong with the way Borderlands plays. It's just like I think the concept is a little tired at this point, right? So let's see what they can do with another concept, though. The only thing I do worry about is like that voice cast is great, but that voice cast is filled with comedians, right? And that means they're going to try to be funny again. And I just don't feel like they've proven they can really do that very well. Written by Gearbox people, you know, in the last couple of years.
As much as the script of Borderlands is rough.
Yeah.
That's an impressive enough voice cast to maybe make some bad writing work.
Possible.
I mean, I would take the chance of that over if they had just their regular old voice cast reading these bad lines.
100%. And it might be good. I'm not saying, I don't know who's writing it. I don't want to say, who knows who's writing it. It doesn't mean the same people who wrote Borderlands, that, you know, game studios are vast and large and they turn over people fast. Who knows? I just hope it's not exactly the same humor as the Borderlands games, but
I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
Metal Slug Tactics.
Yeah, which was a surprise. Looked neat.
Yeah,
like
it does look neat.
Yeah, a surprise. I like the art style a lot. You know, they kept like the Metal Slug art style. But I really liked like those like weird, like anime things that they like, those cutscene things they're doing in the middle and stuff like that. It looked neat. It looked like it could be a cool tactics game, and it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Neat.
Death Stranding director's cut.
Yeah. So this whole segment, and I think earlier on, I think Adam said, hello, now let's talk to my very good personal friend, Hideo Kojima. And as you said, Jeff Keighley is never going to miss the chance to have Kojima on his show or talk to him or be like, I know him. Like, you know, he's never gonna miss those chances. So, and they kind of talked about more like his philosophy on... It basically started out with Kojima being like, I've just been too good at like predicting what's going to happen in the future with my games, and I don't want to do that anymore, is basically what he said. And then he basically was like, people want to have fun. They want games to be fun.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make my games fun.
You know, they're like, oh, can you tell us like what... Well, the game is, and he's like, I can't tell you. I don't know, you know, whatever. This might be whatever, like, there's this rumor, right, that Microsoft's trying to close this deal with Kojima Productions, whatever their next game is, to kind of have it either first on Xbox or whatever it is. I don't think that we're going to hear about it this year, because I don't think that deal is closed, but if we do hear about it this year, it's going to be there.
And it will have come together at the last minute.
Yeah,
at
the very last minute, because all these people that Justin and I follow who are, like, insiders are, like, basically, it's not done yet, so if it happens, it's going to happen right before the show starts, basically.
There's a few things that are up in the air like that. Yeah. Like Battlefield being on Game Pass.
Yeah. So the footage they did show, first of all, it was obviously meant to be, look like a Metal Gear Solid thing. The layout of the building, the kind of the viewing angle, then they find that box where he poured the oranges out of, where lovely Megs, friend of the show Megs in our Discord said, why was the guy from Death Stranding in that box with those orange balls? And I was like, is that what you call oranges?
Megs.
But what's interesting about that area, and this is just as someone who played Death Stranding and enjoyed it, that looks to me like maybe what the inside of some of those buildings that you go to deliver things might look like, that you never maybe see in the main game.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. I don't know what this thing's going to be. It's going to be on PS5. I don't know how. I think really that's part of it. It's a PS5 version of the game. And it's going to have extra content, you would guess, since it's director's cut. I don't know what that means. I'm a huge Kojima fan. But I have no idea what this means. I'm assuming it's extra story content. I don't know. I don't know what a director's cut of a game that was totally overseen by the director means. I don't know what was cut when he had full control over the game. I
mean, if you think about it, honestly, what is the content that Sony was like, this is too much, we need to take this out?
I don't know. But we'll see when we know more about it. It's supposed to come, I think, out this year. So we'll see what that's about. Next.
Jurassic World Evolution 2, which bummed me out because these park management sims just, they're
oh, yeah, look at the Jeff Goldblum not thing. My thing.
Yeah, the Jeff Goldblum thing. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, all right, cool. An actual Jurassic Park. Like, maybe we get a gun and we could like run around and shoot it. Nope. No. After that, the Korean MMO Lost Ark is coming this way in the fall.
Yeah. I'm sure Cody hype about that.
Yeah. Cody's already mentioning how hyped they are.
It looks like a Diablo-esque type of game, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, it looks, I mean, the thing about it looked bad. It just was like, whenever someone is like, whenever any show is like, and here is this like insanely popular game from overseas that you've never heard of, like, I always assume it's going to have like crazy like monetization hooks in it that are going to make it like very tough to play. That's what I'm imagining. But I'm not saying that's the case. I don't know anything about Lost Ark. So
Sable was that game that we were mentioning before, got a release date of September 23rd. We'll see more of that tomorrow at that Tribeca Game Festival.
Yeah, that game looks neat. Look neat when they
it looks very cool.
Yeah, it looks like a Mobius comic. It looks great. So I don't really know what you do in it, but it looks like it'll be a chill, nice experience.
Among Us adding a hide and seek mode and then laid out the roadmap for 2021.
Yeah. Lots of cosmetics and stuff like that. Among Us is going to, it already is becoming this, because like the general like Twitch, you know, quote unquote core gamer hype has sort of like
subsided.
It's subsided because it's on the natural course of every game that is popular within like the center group of game people who play games all the time and talk about games all the time, I should say, is people move on to other things. But like,
it will quietly make $1 billion a year.
That's the thing. It's gonna slide into that grouping with like Roblox and Minecraft and those games where nobody ever talks about them, but there's always a gajillion people playing them and it's making a ton of money. Adam says like Fall Guys, not at all like Fall Guys. Fall Guys actually is not very popular, you know. And was never even close as popular as Among Us was, you know? So, I mean, that was cool, though. The new modes and stuff is always cool.
Yeah. Sequel to Salt and Sanctuary, named Salt and Sacrifice.
Yep. Yeah.
Come in 2022. Online co-op.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't crazy about the art style.
That's the art style that all those Ska Studios games have. I'm like, oh, they all look like that. You remember Charlie Murder?
Yeah.
And that... That dishwasher, what was the name of that game?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was like another 2D action game. It was called like, I'm going to look it up right now. All their games look like that. I'm always like, oh, this, I should play this. And then I play some of it and they never stick with me.
Probably because it looks so bad.
I don't mind the look.
The art style. I'm just kidding.
I don't mind the look at all, but I just, whatever. They're click with me.
While you look it up, I'll talk about a couple other things. 2 Point Campus was actually officially announced instead of being leaked a week ago. That'll come 2022. They talked about a new area in Escape from Tarkov, that game looks neat, but I'm terrified to play it.
One day we'll play it. One day we'll play it. And record our adventures and see what happens.
Jeff Gerstmann, after the conference, was like, oh, I downloaded Escape from Tarkov for the first time in years. I walked for about 2 minutes. I hit a landmine, uninstalled. I'll check back in 2024. And I have a feeling that would be what we'd experience.
The dishwasher Dead Samurai, which was an Xbox 360 like arcade game in 2009, is the game I'm thinking of.
I have no idea what that is.
If you saw a trailer for it, you would definitely know. You would definitely know.
All right, we're gonna skip over the Stranger Things Smite collaboration.
Weird. Yeah.
I mean, they do stuff like, I mean, Smite does things like that. They had like the Ninja Turtles ones where the Ninja Turtles all took over a character. I think they did a couple of others as well. I think the Last Airbender one.
It was just really weird to see like Hopper in his like Hawaiian shirt, like flipping around and shooting two pistols or whatever.
Here's where we get into like, I think the part where this kind of got very long. The Anna Cruz, that Left 4 Dead on the starship. That look rough.
There is also one called Dishwasher, the Vampire Smile. Andy, I think that one's a little newer.
Speaking of vampires,
Here's the thing about that Vampire. Game. I was one thing more thing about that game, that Anna Christmas game. I like the art style like quite a bit. I think it's like a nice art style.
I don't think it was the art style that threw me off.
No, the trailer was weird. Like the way they used like the voiceover, like the character voiceover, and the way they just like showed the battles. It didn't give. This is why I think, you know, people often like underestimate what production and editing does to trailers to make you feel what the game, people who make the game want you to feel, you know, about that game. Like, that's why, like, you watch that Battlefield trailer, right, that has no gameplay in it, but you kind of feel what they want you to feel. You have, like, that feeling that you, of it being big and crazy, and, you know, you get that sense. And this is a very poorly produced, edited trailer, because it does not give you any sense of what it feels like to play the game. It's just sort of like, it just sort of looks like somebody just going like this, like with like a gun, and the Blade Dreams are coming out, and then they're just running. They give no sense to the game at all.
And the way that the enemies, whatever the enemies are, aliens or whatnot, or zombies, I couldn't really tell. But like, they're just surrounding one of the characters, and the character must do some sort of like AOE move to get them off.
Yeah.
But the physics just didn't look right. Like, they looked like, you know, outside, you know, a car dealership, those like wavy arm men.
Wavy two men.
That's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, it's going to be a Game Pass game, so we can try it out.
We can try it out for free.
All
right, so you had mentioned this before, the Koch Media revealing that that new label, mm-hmm. where they had like some games that were already out and some games that were coming.
Mm-hmm.
The games that were coming that they announced was a new Painkiller title, Payday 3, mm-hmm. and a Gungrave title.
Yeah, all those have very similar vibes to them. What was the name of the imprint?
It is Prime Matter.
Prime Matter
is a good name.
It's a good name and a good logo.
It's a good name. Yep.
Good name, good logo. I know.
I love a good logo.
I know you do. I mean, some of the things, like Painkiller was a cool game. So like, it's cool that they're doing another Painkiller, you know? Payday is cool. Like so many games have done what Payday has done since Payday came out. And those games were made by the people who made Payday. So I don't know what this game is. You know, I don't know who's making it. They were very, very like cagey about like, you know, who the developers were on these things. They were just like, here are the titles, you know? So we'll see.
Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt is the Vampire Battle Royale, because of course.
Yeah, I mean, that it looks... The idea of having a Battle Royale that has mechanics that are sort of like a Dishonored or whatever, you know, like is a neat idea, which has not really been done. You know what I mean? So it could be cool. And you'd better not restart my computer, Windows. You know, so it's just, there's a lot of weirdness around Vampire the Masquerade right now because of the other game getting delayed and everyone getting fired off of it or whatever.
It's not like a good look.
We're really pushing this first person action game or whatever. I mean, that's the kind of game where like I would like to give it a try. Like, hope there's like a beta or something so we can try it, because
it's a new battle royale. Of course we're gonna try it.
We played Hyperscape for God's sakes.
Oh God, yeah.
What's next?
Kelsey Levati's Hyperscape.
Yeah, Kelsey Levati's Hyperscape.
New Tales of Arise. I don't know about you. I mean, Tales is one of those series that every time I see it come up, I'm like, all right, well, I could look at my phone for the next 5 minutes.
It just slots into that like very long running Japanese RPG like thing where it's like, if you don't care about it, like there's just nothing that's going to make you care at this point about it. You know what I mean? It just, they all have the same vibe. It's like it's like the Xenoblade stuff. It's like that. It's like a bunch of stuff. This guy says Tales is her favorite. It's nothing against the games. It's just like, I just have never played them. So when I see new stuff from them, I'm like, I don't know.
It's a hard sell for somebody who's never played one of them to be like, this is the 49th Tales game.
Yeah, I know. It's like when I see a Dragon, Dragon Quest trailer. I'm like,
yeah,
okay. You know,
this is for somebody. Yeah. But that somebody is not me.
Mm-hmm, it's not me.
It's for Sky, apparently.
Yeah.
That game company showed Sky Children of Light. I think that was the mobile game, and they're bringing it to Switch.
What was it?
They're doing Sky. That game company.
Oh.
Sky Child, Children of Light.
Yeah, that was a mobile game. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's coming to Switch this month. And then Le Petit Prince arriving in July.
Okay. Yeah. I think I went to the bathroom during those two announcements, so I didn't see either of them. But yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because when the Tails announcement happened, I was like, okay, now's the time to get up for a couple minutes.
Gonna skip over a couple of things here, and we're gonna say that Planet of Lana, it looked kind of nice.
Yeah, was that the one with like the drop pods coming down or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that did look nice. It did look nice. Yeah.
Endless Dungeon was announced. They got a gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They did that weird like that Dark Alliance like.
Thing.
That game's out in like a week or whatever. Game looks neat, but it's just one of those weird things. That's like gotta pay the bills. That's definitely like Wizards of the Coast being like, yeah, we're gonna give you $20,000 for you to do like this spot, this ad for our game. You know what I mean?
Just some other like small things here. Monster Hunter Stories 2. Mm-hmm. Nier Automata's 2B coming to fall, guys. This is where they slotted in that Deviation game studio partnership.
It's so weird. The 2B being in
Fall iconic, Guys. It's an iconic character. It is. Like, I didn't know 2B got there yet.
She is. I think she is iconic, but it's still, it's like Fall Guys is a weird place for her to be.
Yeah. They talked to Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes, they did.
I like Giancarlo Esposito, but it's just another weird thing to just like bring him in and be like, tell me about the background of your character.
Yeah.
It's Far Cry.
Yeah.
It's not a good guy.
No. Also, again, the thing, like, if it was just like the problem with the thing is this whole show was that like the Giancarlo Esposito thing wasn't bad on the surface. He was actually like really engaged with their conversation.
He was.
And he was having a good time. It was the fact that you can get away with doing one or two of those things. There was like 6-7 of those things in this show.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, I'm sure it was fucking, I'm sure Jeff Keighley was fucking stoked. He was like, I get to talk to Giancarlo Esposito for 5 minutes. Like, awesome. Of course I'm going to do it. But it just is one of those things where I think a little bit more restraint on a show like this would be good. Like on an award show, I expect this kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, but like for this, a little more direct on the games would have been good.
Evil Dead showcased the gameplay video.
Yeah, it didn't look bad. It's so weird because when I hear they're making an Evil Dead game, I automatically think like it's going to be like
terrible,
second rate, and cheap and terrible because that's all Evil Dead games have been in the past. It didn't look bad. I like the idea of doing one of those games, like one of those like, hey, it's 4v1. So many of them now are like one of the bad guy has all the abilities and the other four have to like just run away, you know? And this one was like, no, like you're going to kick some fucking ass or whatever. So like there's like a more like Left 4 Dead ish stuff in like, you know, a Friday the 13th type of game or whatever. But I'll never play it. So unless it's on Game Pass and then I'll give it a try. But other than
no. You said Left 4 Dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny because I got Back 4 Blood.
Back 4 Blood.
They showed another gameplay trailer.
It's great.
I'm gonna play that game.
I'm gonna play it too. It's just it's one of the things where like when you delay your game, and then you come to a show and you're like, "Here's our gameplay trailer." My brain is already like, okay, like I already know what the game is. I know like I don't need to see any more of it. You know, I know they have to do it because it's promotion for them. But for me, it was like one of those gloss over moments. Because in these kind of shows, all I want to see is new shit. You know, it's like a problem. I know
what this. I've literally played this game 7 months ago.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And that's what I mean. It's just like, okay, like it should be out. I mean, obviously, take your time, do the game you want to do. But just like from a promotional standpoint.
Cody, the only reason I even talked about the Evil Dead game is because I know you're in chat and you would complain if I didn't talk about it and you didn't even know that they showed it. All right, let's talk about Elden Ring.
Let's talk about Elden Ring. Oh, Elden Ring.
I think it looks fine. It looks okay.
The troll, Justin the troll is here.
I'm not trolling. You know these games aren't for me. Will I end up playing it? Yes, of course, I'll end up playing it. But to me, it looked minus the horseback riding, it looked like a Dark Souls game.
I mean, it definitely looks like a From game for sure. For sure. I think to say it just looks like a Dark Souls game is like selling it a little bit short, because there's a lot of things in that trailer. Chad is turning against Justin.
Here's the thing, though. You see Bloodborne or Sekiro, those are different looking than Dark Souls.
They're different settings, yes, they're for sure.
They're completely different settings. You could tell it's a From game if you watch it for 2 seconds, but it's a completely different setting. If you did not know Elden Ring existed and they showed this footage, minus the horseback riding, and you saw a dude in knight's armor running around in castles, swinging at enemies, you'd be like, oh, it's a Dark Souls game.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not saying it doesn't look, but you're saying that like it's a negative thing. And
I'm not saying it just, to me, it just looks like it looks, what would have made Elden Ring stand out to me more if it was just like a different type of setting.
Right.
Like the whole castle motif doesn't really do it for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bloodborne did, because it was like gross.
Yeah.
But you know, they're definitely doing something different because it's open world. Like, you see him riding around on his weird horse, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, all you guys in the chat who want the same game over and over again, by all means, keep playing it. And then I'll play it, and I'm going to tell you all it's bad. And that's how this is going to go.
So, no, but what I was going to say is... it does definitely... What the sense you get from that trailer, right, is open world, right? That's been the rumor for a while, and it definitely seems like that's the case. Seems like some different and sort of interesting traversal mechanics as well. There was, like... There was the thing where the horse, flew up that mountain or whatever.
The horse took Octane's jump pad and jumped up a mountain.
Yeah. He also the character summoned the horse out of nothing. So it wasn't like a horse that it got on. It magicked the horse into being. There just seemed to be two and again, they've always flirted with this stuff, right? You know, because especially in the earlier Dark Souls games. Especially Dark Souls 1, the world is extremely connected, right? And you always had this kind of feeling, I'll go from place to place to place to place, but the boss fights or the big enemy encounters were always, very, you kind of got funneled into, for lack of a better term, to use a multiplayer word, an instance, right? You're like, I'm gonna go to the fog gate and I'm gonna be in this thing. Here it seems like you're gonna see more stuff sort of,
out in the world.
When you're out and about. You saw that giant turtle with the bell for the ball with its balls or whatever, and a building on the top of it, and some other stuff as well, right? It looks like obviously big scale boss battle stuff. There's some hints of weaponry and stuff in there. It seems like there's a lot of emphasis on magic in the trailer, I think that we yet to see, we don't know yet, right? And again, we're probably not going to know really until the game comes out, because From is not going to do a stream in November being here's the detailed breakdown of Elden Ring's gameplay. That's just not what From does, right? The game's going to come out and you're going to figure out what it is once it's out, basically. I'm curious about, because in Sekiro, they went a lot more direct, right, with their story stuff, right? It was a direct kind of narrative that they explicitly want you to know what's going on. Whereas the other From games are more about the story is in item descriptions and it's sort of atmospheric, and you're supposed to pick out some of it and pick out other parts of it and sort of use your community engagement to sort of figure out what the whole thing means. And I'm wondering which direction this goes into, right? Because obviously we know that some of the world building and lore and stuff is developed by George R. R. Martin in collaboration with Miyazaki. And so I wonder what the story and lore stuff is going to be. Plus, it seems like it's a totally new mythology, right? Does that mean it's going to be more in line with something like Bloodborne or Sekiro, where it's easier to kind of handle the story because it takes place in one game and not across three games and across thousands and thousands and thousands of in-game years or whatever. So I'm interested to hear about that. I think we get a question in the chat in real time about for you, Justin, that I think you want to answer. So why don't you, what's that question and what do you want to say?
Art Piece is asking, if I don't like the game, why would I play it?
It's a good question. Been asking this question for, 10 years.
But here's the thing, right? Like, I do this podcast, and before I even did this podcast, I'm going to play everything. I'm not going to box myself into a corner. So I'll play something, and if I don't like it, I'll tell you that I don't like it. But just because I don't like some of the games in the series doesn't mean that I don't like others. Like, I liked Bloodborne after Bobby got me playing it. And like, I went through and I beat that game. And then I played Dark Souls 3 on stream. And like, that playing it on stream was not the way for me to play that game, but I did end up beating it. So like, yeah, like I see something like Elden Ring and it's like, okay, like I'll try this. It's not like I'm just going to be like, no, I'm not going to play this, because to me, that's counterproductive to my ability to do this podcast well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
So I want to be able, when Bobby's speaking about this at the end of the year, when we do the Game Awards or our, you know, our little award show, and Bobby's like, you know, I really think this is the best game of the year. And I'm like, well, I didn't play it because I don't like those games. That's not a good conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll tell him, well, I played it and I didn't like it. And as a person that's not a huge fan of those games, this is why.
Yeah.
And that way I could bump back against him. Or I could be the one to be like, you know, Bloodborne really should be in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, fight for it. So that's why, even though I'm not a huge fan of these games, I will always I'll give them a look, because you never know what will grab you at some point in your life. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to do this, you know, this hobby to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly rare that I'll look at a game and be like, that's just not for me, and I'm not going to think about it. Mm-hmm. Especially if it's something that I know that Bobby is very into, because I want to share his excitement and have something to talk about with him.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. You know, and here, and the thing about it too is, regardless of like agnostic to the who the developer is, when you're when you kind of talk about and treat games the way Justin and I treat it, when a developer of this stature puts out a game, you take notice, right? Like, From has carved out their place in the industry in a very concrete and interesting way in the last however many years, you know, going from basically unknown to the creator of a genre of games that is now wildly popular, which is crazy to think about, right?
Yeah.
And so when they put out a new game, especially a new game which seems to be, well, maybe in setting, not like going as far as you want, in sort of scope seems to be going to another level, right? On the scope that they're trying to push. I think it's something you set up and take notice for. Also, what I do love, and you actually mentioned something with Justin, you were talking about how you're playing, you know, you're playing Quantum Break right now, right? And Ange, your wife, basically saw it and was like, huh, this looks like Control. Like, she's right. She said, like, she could pick out like the Remedy sort of like style, right?
Yeah.
From watching you play. And immediately, the first fucking monster, the first thing you see in this trailer, you're like, oh, this is a From game, like, immediately.
You just know
the design, the animation, and that's the thing too, like, it, you know, like even like things I love, and you know they'll be in the game because they don't do stuff like this, but like, there's that moment where like the character is riding up on that, those like giants like pulling that cart on their horse, and they like drag their sword across the ground like before they go to hit them. And you know that like that kind of animation and that kind of like sound effect and that thing, like, that's a From marker, you know? And I love being able to like see that, you know, in a game, and sort of, you know, like right away, like, this is who this group is. Like, I remember back when the Sekiro trailer first like came out, and they didn't do like the From that was From like for until like the middle of the trailer. And there was a moment where like the character opened a door, and I think you and I were watching it together, and I was like, we were texting, and I was like, is this a From game?
Yeah.
You know? And you know, that's like, I love that. I love when studios can do different things, but have like this cohesive sort of DNA that sort of permeates through their work. And plus, like, Miyazaki, the director of this game, who directed the first Dark Souls, directed Demon's Souls, directed Bloodborne, is like one of like the great game directors out there. So it's very cool whenever he does one of these games. RGB says in the chat, you told me to buy Dark Souls 3 when I was in Talking Games episode 100. Now I can't play any other games. I blame you. I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
I think another point kind of about playing the games that you don't generally like is I'm not the only one that does this. Bobby will pretty much buy any Rockstar game that comes out.
Uh-huh. I will.
and give it a shot. And he always tells me, I'm hopeful this is the one that grabs me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he does it for the same reason I do it. It's because he knows that I'm going to want to talk about it. And, you know, that I'm excited for it. And so he'll come to me and be like, yeah, I just couldn't do it. It wasn't for me. But to his credit, he will always try.
Yes. I bought the latest Assassin's Creed game. And I know from just hearing about it that there's no way I'm going to probably finish it. But there are open world, like the thing is like, you know, there are games, sometimes that I don't think I'm going to like, that I play it and I end up loving it. Like I remember like back when when Skyrim came out for the first time. It's not my type of game. And I was like, I don't know if I want to play this. Like, I played a little bit of Oblivion and didn't really get into it. I played some of Fallout 3 and like I liked it, but like I just couldn't stick with it. And I was like, I rented it from like Redbox. And I was like, if I rent it and I like it, then I'll buy it or whatever. But I'm mostly going to rent it, play it for a couple, like a day or two, and then turn it and never think about it again. I rented it. I went home and I played it for like 8 hours straight. And then basically went back to return it to Redbox and walked next door and bought it at GameStop. You know what I mean? And I never, and if I just said like, oh no, like it's a big, huge open world game, I don't really care about these games, I never would have put 120 hours into it and loved it, you know? So I think that it's important, like Justin said, to just not put blanket statements on and say, I just don't like these kind of games. Now, that's if you want to play a lot of games and talk about games and like we do. That's not saying like, look, if you have a limited amount of time to play games and you only wanna make sure you play the games that you really wanna play,
of course,
that's 100% fine, you know, and you don't need us to tell you that. But, you know, it's one of those things where like, I think a lot of people who are in this chat and a lot of people who hang out with us in our community, like they want to talk about games in a fully formed way. And, you know, I've always been in the mind of, you know, I'm not going to talk about something unless I know about it. I do my research about it, or, you know, I have firsthand experience of it to talk about it, you know? So, Mello, I never finished the story. I got to the end. I got flew to that island or whatever, you know, when you take the dragon over to that other place to do the end game part. And I think I died. I was like, I'm just going to go. I don't want to do this right now. That's after I played 150 hours of it or whatever. I was done with it though. That's the other thing too. Like I didn't need to finish the story of Skyrim, which I'm sure would have been earth shattering. The end of the narrative of Skyrim.
I did the ending of Skyrim after like 80 hours,
you know.
I was like, oh, that's right, the main quest.
You know, I don't, but like, but the main quest was never like in those games, it was never the thing to me, you know. No. It was never like the main quest. All the side quests were so much more interesting because the main quest was just like, I am the chosen one. Like, that's just the main quest of Skyrim, you know. The side quests were always way more interesting.
I think another really good example of that, playing something that you don't think you're gonna like and then ended up you end up loving it, was God of War for you.
Yeah, the new God of War. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. The new God of War was 100% that. I was not excited about that game at all. I was like,
at all.
I was like, it looks nice. Like, it looks very nice and I'm sure it'll play well. But I like the original God of War games, but I don't love them. You know what I mean? Like, I they're good. They're fun games and they were very impressive technically at the time, you know, but I was never like, oh, I need to play this. You know, I don't care about, I never cared about Kratos. Like, I don't care about any of that stuff. And also, you know, Sony has gotten to this very particular type of structure of their games, which is like, okay, this is going to be a 40 to 50 hour, like, open world game. It's going to be like sort of Ubisoft-ish, you know, but it's going to have like good story stuff to it because we're Sony and that's what we do, right? That's kind of like where they got to. And God of War was different than those games, you know. It was that length, but it had a different sort of like, a different sort of structure to it. And yes, I finished the next, you finish the story of God of War because the story of God of War is important. like to enjoyment of the game. You know what I mean?
We've been doing this for what, 7-8 years?
Yeah.
And I think God of War is maybe one or two games that you were like, I'm 90% done with this and you haven't even started it yet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that. I got very lucky because my wife and child went away for an entire like 4 days, like right as God of War came out. So it was like, I am just going to sit down and just play it for as many hours as I can so I can finish it. And when I started, I was like, okay, this is cool, you know, but like in that point where I didn't want to stop playing it, you know? So
that game gets good.
Yeah, the game is very good. The game is very good. And yeah, absolutely. And there are a ton of types of games too. Like at some point in my life, I didn't like playing FromSoft games either. I played Demon's Souls when it came out. I played Dark Souls at first. Like I tried playing them and I bounced off of them super hard. Like when I first played them. So like, and it was going back to them and giving them their chance that made me enjoy them. So like the reason I'm hyped about Elden Ring is because I decided to try to play something that I wasn't enjoying, but I think that a lot of, some of it is like, I don't want, it's some of it's, I don't want to miss out on the conversation, but some of it's also like, I don't want to say I don't like this thing unless I really try to give it a go, to play something and to understand the game, right? Like if I go into it and just go like, ah, oh, fuck this. Like I don't, it's not like game B, you know what I mean? Like and judge it on that merit or try to play it in that manner, then I didn't really give it a chance. I just sort of like went into it wanting to dislike it and found a reason to keep disliking it. There are plenty of games that I try that I want to like, that I try and I don't like, but like whether it be a tactics game or a card battler or a roguelike or whatever, like I want to go in and I want to play the game on its merits, right? I want to play the game. I want to meet the game where it is and try to play it for what it is. And if I still don't like it, then that's fine. Then we part ways amicably. You know what I mean? You know, and again, there's only so much time, right? So like, I'm not going to be like, I'll try to play the new Assassin's Creed, but I'm not going to like, you know, play Mafia 3 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to play the ones that don't get great reviews or don't seem like they're doing anything new. But you know, that sometimes you get in those things. And it's totally okay. And Gru mentioned something being not for them. That's also totally cool. Like talking about things, talking about media, talking about anything is a multi-layered process, right? And it's like, sometimes there are things that aren't for you that are good, but you just don't like them. So it's like, I'll respect you from a distance, you know? Sorry, go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, let me jump in for 1 second.
Yeah.
Like earlier in the stream, we talked about Tales of Arise.
Mm-hmm.
That game is not for me.
Yeah.
That game will never be for me. I respect it though, because it's a long running franchise.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not a game that you and I are going to have to talk about at the end of the year.
No.
So I can respect it from a distance and be like, that thing is not for me. And I don't ever have to worry about playing it until one day you play one. And then I'm like, fuck, now I need to go play Tales of Arise.
But also talking about things like this isn't for me. So therefore I bounce off of it. Or I'm not interested in it. But then there are also times where I have no difference between that and no, this game is just not doing the things that it set out to do in a way that's satisfying or entertaining or thought-provoking or whatever the game is trying to do, right? And you have to be able to say like, okay, no, this game is just not working. It's not just not working for me. It isn't working for these reasons. Now, again, even the thing where you say this game isn't working, it's an opinion, right? It's like, it is still for you, but there's a difference between like, you know, it's like saying like, I don't like Westerns, right? But I don't like Westerns, or Westerns are bad. You know what I mean? Like there's a difference between those two statements, right? One of them is more fun to get people like a rise out of people by doing, like saying The Last of Us Part Two is a bad video game. When I don't feel that way, it's a much more nuanced and layered conversation for me than that. But you have to be able to know if you want to talk about games critically. Not if you just want to talk about fucking games with your buddy and on voice chat, who cares? But if you want to talk about games critically, like you have to be able to start figuring those things out.
A more recent example for us where I think Resident Evil games are bad.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about this really quick before we move on to the other show and talk about Loki.
Okay. So, yeah, like, kind of getting into Resident Evil games in a weird way.
In a very weird way.
In a very weird order, too.
Extremely
I laid this out for Sky today because I was in her stream for a bit. I played Resident Evil 2, or I watched my friends play through all of Resident Evil 2.
Original version.
Yeah. Original version on a PS2 mm-hmm. on a Sunday. We spent like 10 hours playing it.
PS1.
And I'm sorry, a PS1. Was mm-hmm. it a PS1? No, we played it on a PS2. I'm positive.
Oh, you could have played it on a PS2, obviously. They were compatible with each other, but it was a PS1 release.
But yeah, we played it on a PS2. The next time I touched a Resident Evil game was Resident Evil 5 on the 360. Then Resident Evil 7 mm-hmm. with Bobby on stream. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil 2 on stream. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm never playing one of these again.
Yeah.
Ever. And then I watched some of the gameplay of 8 and was just like, oh, fuck it. All right, fine. I'll play Resident Evil 8. And I really liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that game. No qualms. No. That's what I'm looking for here. I just really liked it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, maybe I should play Resident Evil 3. And I played that. And you know what? I didn't like that as much as 8.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm only missing 1 and 4.
Right. I mean, there's a pretty decent way to play 1. That remake is good. It, you know, it's not like the 2 or 3 remake where they like completely made it look like a modern video game. But they did like make it so you don't have to control it like a tank anymore. Like they put like modern sort of like controls into it that you can switch on. Though it still has like a lot of all the backtracking and like the inventory. You think the inventory stuff in like 3 and 2 was like tough? Like it's so small in 1. It's like ridiculously small in 1. But the 1 remake is still good, I think. 4 is just like 4 is 4. I don't you can probably ask Sky if you think shit holds up.
I'm going to replay 4 when they remake it.
When they remake
it. Which is like a rumor that they're doing. Yes. So when they do the remake, I'll play it and then I'll have played 2 through 8.
Yeah.
And I'm there for 9. I'm there for the DLC of 8. Mm-hmm. Like I've somehow backdoored my way into liking Resident Evil.
It's crazy. Quickly, just a couple things. I played that new, Justin linked me this game in a text like last week. It's a new game from the studio called Inkle called Overboard. And it's like a reverse murder mystery story where you are the wife of a man who you throw overboard and kill on a murder on a boat. And then you have to try to get away with it. And you have to like talk to people and convince them and frame other people. And you have like a certain amount of hours in the day before you get to the point where you kind of like the detective, you know, kind of checks on the room and says like, you did it or whatever. So it's like, you have to get away with it. You have to not get accused of murder, but you also have to frame somebody else because you want to get the inheritance from your husband. And if it's suicide, you don't get the inheritance. And I did like, I did a good run the other day. I beat it. I mean, there's lots of you can do. There's like a lot of story avenues you can walk down, to do it, but it was a lot of fun, a really good personality and good music and good vibes to it. I really recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, well, one more thing. I haven't played 6, but I'm never going to play 6.
No. Don't play 6.
No.
Don't play Resident Evil 6, Justin.
Imagine I had played 6 before 4. That would have been bad. I'm trying to get Peach to play 6 with our friend Rage.
Oh, that would be funny.
Because they're playing 5 right now. And I'm like, you guys should just continue into 6 so I can see what it looks like and never have to worry about playing it.
This guy says, no, you like Resident Evil now. Don't ruin it. 6 is abysmal. It's just a chore. RTB says, did you talk about that Midgard multiplayer game thing? Can't remember the name, but it looked cool.
Tribes of Midgard. I accidentally skipped it.
Oh, no,
it was right near the end. I was driving when this was on air, so I missed it.
I think I missed the trailer for it as well, unfortunately. Justin is accosting Peach in our chat at the moment. Mello, you got crazy opinions on games, man. There's no way 6 is better than 5. You're crazy.
That might be the first time I've ever seen that opinion on the internet.
So yeah, that's it for our coverage of E3 day minus two.
I like it.
Yeah, me too. If there's giant ass news tomorrow during that Cook Media thing or whatever, I'll hop on and chat about it. But I don't think there will be. I think next time you hear from us is Sunday. Just because Saturday will be crazy work day for me. We'll see what happens. If you want to get in touch with us, so everyone in the chat, I'll edit this out of the Maxwell podcast. I'm going to close out the show like I'm closing it out, so I can have a clean audio for the podcast, and then we're gonna roll right into Loki. So don't worry. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Bobby Shortle. Justin.
Justin underscore says underscore hey.
You can follow the channel at twitch.tv/misadventureland if you're listening to this on your podcast player of choice. We're going to be back again talking about Loki. You can listen to that right now. Probably they're probably putting them out at the same time, I'm guessing. But until then, thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you to everybody who's watching and listening. Until next time, be good to one another. Later. These two great friends agree a lot, but when they don't, then the shit gets hot. Though there's C+ in there.